Blog Talk Radio.
Consuming, eating, deleting, ruining.
trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, 10, 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Free the land.
Revolutionary greetings. Welcome to another edition of Vision of Government Public Affairs Radio Show. Your host, Minister Gumai Shakir, the Minister of Information. I'm joined my co-host, Minister of Interior, Jawara Akinbakele. Before I bring on the guests and continue the program, I'm going to go over a couple of things. One thing I'd like to read is what the Provisional Public Affairs believes. One, that the exploitation and oppression of blacks in North America by whites in North America has entered a more vicious and visible state. Two, blacks in North America are in a serious danger of extermination like the Native American Indian. Three, African-born Americans survive and liberate ourselves if we understand that our problem was created by the all-white government, USA, and is being continued by all-white government. Four, individual or organizations, no matter how rich or large, cannot wage a correct struggle for survival and liberation against the United States government. Five, we can only survive and liberate ourselves by becoming real black nationalists and building ourselves a nation that are able to wage the correct struggle for our survival and liberation. Six, we should be the ones to determine our own destiny. That is known as self-determination. Seven, that we must stand ready to defend ourselves against our enemy by any means necessary. Eight, we must support all liberation struggles and the liberation in general of the new African continent. Nine, the economic needs of our nation will be met and profit will be shared equally. 10, Provisional Government wants all black people to help us make the Republic of Africa, the black nation, a nation that will govern black people. Liberate the black territory, free the land. You know, what we've been doing customarily with the show, we've been reading from different things that happened in history that pertain to the particular month. And this month, we have a document that the People's City Council had put out, put out 3rd September 24, 2008. And then, it was written by Barbara Alvin Brown, who was the PCC chair at that time. And it's entitled, Dr. Amari Abedele, PhD, the New African Election and Beyond. Up and read it to you. Free the land. Many of us, including Dr. Amari Abedele, PhD, have greeted friends to each other with these words. To the conscious New African, these words have a meaning understood throughout the New African independent movement. To better clarify this, I'm going to quote from the 442-page dissertation written by Amari Abakari Abedele, entitled New African State Building in North America, a State of Reaction Under the Stress of Conquest. It was submitted to the Temple University Graduate Board May 2, 1985, and accepted by the Graduate Board of Temple University in partial fulfillment of the requirements for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, 5/15/85. It has a Part 1 and a Part 2, consisting of 10 chapters and a selected bibliography. Chapter 10, State Building and Counting, summarized the major final of this dissertation, and it reviewed the course of the movement, modern movement for an independent New African state. It covered examples of state building and state transformers, along with building an independent New Africa. Mark Garvey was a New African state builder. In 1940, independent state building was led by a small, determined thinker and organizer named Elijah Muhammad. It was Minister Malcolm X, national spokesman for the Nation of Islam, who undertook to fashion the method whereby the goal of independent statehood could be achieved. In November 1963, this brilliant, angry New African freedom fighter appeared as a guest speaker at a rally in Detroit given by the Group on Advanced Leadership, GOLD. The rally was a part of a conference called the Grassroots Leadership Conference. Malcolm's speech was called Message to Grassroot. Republic of Africa in 1968, men and women in Detroit who had been part of Malcolm X's non-Muslim support group who had provided the forum for his landmark Message to Grassroot speech, having formed the Malcolm X Society called Detroit a nationwide black government conference. The two-day conference to consider was to form a vision of government to petition the United Nations and lead an escalated struggle for independence, was attended by 500 people. Many came from the East, Midwest, and California. When the convention adjourned on Sunday evening, May 31, 1968, the participants now four portentous results. One, a provisional government had been elected for a black state to be created from the black nation. Two, the black state to be built from the black nation had been named Republic of New Africa. Three, the five states of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina had been identified as the subjugated national territory of the Republic of New Africa. And four, the main purposes of the provisional government were A, to educate the people about the existence of the government and the absence of any valid citizenship in the United States, and B, to free the land and subjugate New African, the subjugated national territory. Thus, the New African state, the Republic of New Africa, had been brought into existence by the provisional government, and while yet still subject to the forced control of the United States over much of the Republic national territory of Mississippi, and yet a state continued in existence. The law is very clear, and we have seen many pages ago, in not insisting that a state to be a state must be fully independent. The parts of New Africa are not disintegrated. The government is out of Mississippi, but still has conscious citizens there, and the government functions and has regular elections, and many people throughout the land hold their primary political allegiance to the Republic of New Africa. New Africa has not been absorbed into, nor has it identified with some other state or a nation, nor has New Africa suffered the absolute and total dissolution of the ties which bind the side together. And Dr. Albedelicus concludes, but the available evidence arrayed in this dissertation also made clear the effort of the New African to build an independent new African state in North America had not ceased. Its leaders and workers, man, the provisional Republic of New Africa, had seized on a new international law regime which made revolution for self-determination and independence possible by peaceful means, but legitimate by any means to fluctuate independence for New Africa. Its leaders see important opportunities. So here we are today, over 40 years into the independent state building struggle, the New African Independent Movement, NAIIM. Dr. Obadeli goals are the goals of all New Africans. He's writing a pilot light to our friends of the Revolutionary Fire. This come October 3rd and 4th, will make the 14th triannual provisional government election. One of the purposes of the provisional government is to win and gain state power for the New African nation. This power is needed if we are to free the land. Hold elections, get our nation prepared for an eventual plebiscite, which must occur before any true independent and reparation settlement. This election is a New African population district that are participating via location New African vote on Friday, October 3rd, Saturday, October 4th, Center R, New York, St. Louis, Memphis, Tennessee, Philadelphia, Jackson, Mississippi, Miami, Florida. You can reach either National Election Commission, Jackson, Mississippi, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Commissioner Chair Makia Kambui or Commissioner Khalid Abdul Rashid. That is the base of the document, which is a very glorious document in regards to talking about our history, our struggle, and well, our educational process. You know, tonight we'll be talking about New African youth and New African education, and who will be engaged into this conversation and enlighten us is going to be our co-ministers of education, who is Baba Amin Ogio and Sister Nicole Ogio, as well as our co-minister of youth and sports, which are Brother Bumani Toure and Sister Zada Shakir. Without ado, I'm going to like to welcome our guests on to the show so we start a dialogue. Hold on, let me see. Let me open their lines up. Okay.
Free the land, Minister Posada, Minister Bomani Toure in Birmingham.
Free the land, brother and sister. How y'all doing? How are minister doing?
All is well. Glad to be here tonight.
Okay.
Free the land.
Baba, I mean your land.
Ojibo, co-minister of education.
Okay. Black free power. The land. Yes, sir. Free the land. Okay. It's a pleasure to have y'all on and First, I want to thank y'all all for y'all commitment, y'all determination, y'all dedication, the work y'all did in the past, the present, and the work you can do in the future. And I would like to applaud you again for y'all constant struggle within the independent movement. You know, and before we start, can you tell the people about yourselves before we get into the dialogue? Just a little bit about yourself, just a little brief. Anybody can start. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I don't mind starting. My name is Baba Amin Imamu Ojuwoke. I'm currently co-minister of education along with my beautiful wife, Nkoya Ojuwoke, who won't be able to be on with us tonight because she's taking care of some things here. And y'all know we got our own little mini nation running around the house. But so I'm going to hold it down tonight. So a little bit by myself. I'm co-founder along with my wife of the Uhuru Academy, or formerly, you know, Uhuru Academy Education Solutions. We are an African-centered education company. You know what I'm saying? African-centered education, African-centered school consultation training, homeschool training, the whole nine yards. I've been working with young people now for about 30 years, beginning in my hometown in Fort Worth, Texas, developing rites of passage programs in my neighborhood, and been a grassroots pendant African-centered educator the whole time, ever since, and just have a passion for young people, passion for education, love to teach, and the potential in our youth is limitless. So it's an honor to be here.
Sure, indeed. Sure, indeed. It's a pleasure to have you on, Bob. So.
Peace for the land. This is Brother Bomani here in Birmingham. This is Asada, co-ministers of youth and sports. A little bit about ourselves as it relates to the youth. You know, we've been homeschooling in an African-centered fashion for maybe the last 7 years. You know, we are both the co-founder of the Birmingham African-Centered Homeschool Collective, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's an African-centered collective where, you know, we can provide resources, parents come together, and use their talents to help teach other children, other homeschool children in the community that's willing to come on board and take some of these classes that we're offering. You know, at times we have classes like Swahili, you know, cultural, we have cultural classes, character building, things as it relates to African tenderness. And we want our parents to get involved, so we want them to use their talents to help teach the rest of our homeschool youth. So that can even be programs like teaching children, teaching our youth how to change a tire, how to change brakes, so on and so forth, whatever talents our parents have. But we've created this collective. We're also the owners of the African Center Education Services, LLC, where we offer our services to parents, companies, schools, so on and so forth. And our services are how to implement more of an African-centered curriculum, more of an African-centered way of teaching our children within these institutions. So, you know, we're down to go visit college campuses, elementary schools, high schools, wherever people need a little bit of encouragement to bring more of an African-centered way of thinking and teaching our children, we do. We're there. Which includes, right, a lot of our homeschool communities are white, right? So they take up the spaces at museums and libraries, so on and so forth. So sometimes our parents can be a little intimidated on going by themselves. So our collective goes as a collective, and it just, you know, we make it comfortable for us to homeschool and utilize the resources that are available to us. But that's a little bit about us.
Okay. Well, I do open the dialogue. I'm gonna start with the Ministry of Youth. Then I'm gonna go to the Ministry of Education, right? So I'm open the dialogue with y'all too. Okay. My first question is, right? Can you give people a little insight into and to your to actually what does the Ministry of Youth and Sport does, and how has it influenced and benefited to the education of new African youth.
So the Ministers of Youth and Sport, what we plan on doing as the Minister of Youth and Sports is first we want to identify a program. First, we want to identify the talent, right? And we want to identify the talents of our youth. We want to go talk to our youth and see exactly what they need from their mouths, right? And our job as a youth, as ministers of youth, is to just cultivate our youth into productive new African citizens, right, in an African-centered way. So that's our ultimate goal. But, you know, some of our pillars that we have to make sure that we stand by, you know, culturally, spiritually, mentally, and physically, right, we have to make sure we stand by certain pillars, right? And some of those pillars that we want to create as a whole through curriculum, through programs, through workshops, are things like Baba Amin's just say, you know, rites of passage, right? You want to have a set principle for our youth to follow, right? So we want to use things that are already in existence that our ancestors put there for us, right? Things like the laws of Ma'at, right? We can use that to character build. You know, we use that to express Sankofa, you know, the Nguza Saba, right? Those seven principles that we use, you know, that's a 365 thing for us. So, again, we use these things to cultivate our youth into productive new African citizens. With that being said, me and my queen believe that we are at war. So we're also cultivating warriors. Right. So, you know, we call our students, you know, warrior scholars. Right. Everything we do has a warrior tinge on, because we want we not only want our youth to be successful within whatever society they're in. We want them to serve their people in whatever profession that they choose. Right. So for an example, you know, our children might say they want to be a doctor, and we'll have a follow up question like, why do you want to be a doctor? They're not going to say because I can make a lot of money, right? They're going to say because I can serve my people, I can help heal my people, I can do so on and so forth as it relates to my people. So this is what we want to cultivate as the youth of ministers, as it relates to culture, as it relates to even some education, as it relates to knowing ourselves. As far as sports, we haven't, you know, we really want to be able to sponsor some youth. Maybe create some competitive sports competition within the nation, you know, sponsor our youth to go on, you know, our youth that show great talents to go on to the different levels and represent us, right, to represent this nation, to fly our flag, right, when they win, so on and so forth. But one of the main campaigns, you know, before we leave office or before our term is up, is that we want to start a swimming campaign. You know, we know that across the board, our youth disproportionately can't swim as it relates to other races, right? So we want to start a big swimming campaign. We identified a couple of people that's going to help us with this, and even maybe get our youth into some swimming competitions, so on and so forth. But I yield there for now. That's just a few ideas that we have, but you know, our wheels are always turning. But I yield there for now, brother.
Well, we can't forget the new African Olympics, because Mama Pearl would kill us. But, yes, we are definitely down to do that, got that in motion. Ashe.
Okay, Ashe. Ashe, my next question is, when you mentioned new African youth, what exactly age round is a new African youth?
All right, so... I'm not quite sure as far as it relates to the nation, but when we talk about new African youth, you know, we're talking about 7 to 24 years old, right? Another thing that I failed to mention as the ministers of youth and sports is that we want to develop a child development aspect to it also, right? So we want to – hold on, let me put my little picture right here. So, yeah, we want to develop an aspect of it so we can serve 0 to 7, right? And then, you know, our New African Youth 7 to 24. But, yes, we're going to implement programs from 0 to 24. We're trying to implement programs for our New African youth and children, because I don't want to leave the children aspect out.
Okay. I got a couple more questions. Can you tell me the significance and importance of a New African youth having an African name?
Most definitely. You want to
answer this? I'll say. The importance of our New African youth is of having an African name is, first of all, we can go back to one of our principles of self-determination. So we are self-determined to name ourselves for ourselves by ourselves. All of us on this call, our names mean something very powerful. Our first and last names mean something very powerful. And it means something powerful to people when they speak it. So the importance of that is astronomical. Like, you can't put a price on that. So that's my view on the New African name.
Okay, I appreciate it. My next question is, if people that are not considered New African citizens or New African in general, whether it's country New African city, want to get involved with the Ministry of Youth, how would they go about doing so? And what does it actually mean to be involved with the Ministry of Youth?
So the first way people can get involved with our ministry is to just email us or contact us. We do have a Facebook group that we have on Facebook, which is called the Birmingham African Centered Homeschool Collective, and we usually try to drop resources. We try to drop knowledge as it relates to educating our youth. But the as far as getting involved, everybody can get involved, man. We have youth. We have New African youth, New African Black youth all across this nation that need a positive influence, right, that need a mentor right outside our doors, right in our families. So the first thing that we can do as conscious New Africans is to start teaching our political line to our children, our ideologies to our children, and just start to foster this sense of Sankofa, right, in an African-centered way, start molding the minds of our children to be Africans, right? And I think we'll win there. I think that's a start, just to take the minds of our children, take the minds of our youth back if they're lost. And if our children and youth are on the right course, just to continue to ignite that flame within them to be great New Africans, great Black folks that's going to continue, right? One of our goals as African-centered is liberation. So that's going to continue the fight of liberation on behalf of our people in whatever capacity and whatever lane that they choose. So that's what we can do today, is continue to mold leaders and continue to mold warriors within our own households when we see these youth.
Okay, I appreciate it. That's all the questions I have for y'all right now. And I go to the Minister of Education, and I appreciate the information y'all just disposed, and I appreciate all the things you just shared and the work y'all are doing. You know, I appreciate that. Now I'm gonna go to Bye Me. No doubt. Okay. Oh, okay. Bye Bye Me. Free land.
Yes, sir. Free land. By any
okay,
means
necessary. No doubt. My question to you is, can you tell us the goals for the Ministry of Education and what you intend on doing, or what you're doing already for the Ministry of Education?
I say. First, I want to recognize the Creator. I want to recognize the ancestors just for the opportunity to be here right now. I also want to give a Black Power salute to my brother and sister ministers, the youth and the education ministry, for laying out such an eloquent vision for our youth. And man, look, The squad is strong. I can't wait to be able to collaborate more directly with that ministry because I have some ideas, and I know they do too. And when we all sit down, it's going to be a red, black, and green explosion. So I'm looking forward to it. the goals for the education ministry, they're multiple. You know, I'll start internally, as far as internally inside of the provisional government among conscious citizens. We want to build a education network. We want to strengthen the education networks that are already existing among conscious citizens, be it homeschool networks, be it after-school programs, be it Saturday school programs, actual African-centered schools. We want to come in and we want to make sure that they have what they need. We feel with our experience we can consult, offer ideas, offer resources just based on our own experience running our African-centered school and African-centered school programs and consulting and helping build other programs in other cities. We want to come in and we want to help organize our homeschool networks and strengthen them. One of our goals is just like when you see you see nations, you see green pie, bean pies, you see the nation. When you see other organizations, you see what they stand for. I want the community, when they see the provisional government, to see education. That's them the ones with the schools. Here they come. Wherever you see us, there's somewhere you can go to learn your story. Somewhere you can go to learn who we are, whose we are. Somewhere you can go to be empowered for a new African future. And so that's our goal, is to put those systems and those relationships in place. We have some things going on right now, and some plans that are going on right now. I won't divulge all of them, but we are looking at a couple of communities where we want to put the flag in the ground and launch some African-centered schools. Things are great. What we're doing right now, of course, we have Uhuru Academy Education Solutions. I mean, we're conscious citizens, so the organization that we run is an organization that's a part of the provisional government. So Uhuru Academy is a part of it, you know, and we have our online program going right now, and I tell you, we have the best virtual education program for black children on the planet right now. We're currently working with about 40 young new Africans in about 13 different states, 4 different time zones, and we've crafted an education experience that I can't be more proud of. And we're working with young Africans that I couldn't be more proud of from all walks of life, which is right in line with what the provisional government is. You know, we're not an organization. We're not a clique. We're government, you know what I'm saying? And so we want to take that approach, and we want to scale that up and put more grassroots programs on the ground. Before we started our virtual program from 2010 to 2017, we were on the ground with our school, and we never missed a day of school, and we don't get grants. You know, it didn't come from the system. It all came from organizing, grassroots organizing, volunteers, relationship building. We want to take some of that expertise that we've learned over the years and multiply that and put more institutions on the ground, you know, and tie it in with our acquisition of land, acquisition of property. Everywhere we go, we want to put a school, you know. And so hopefully, you know, we're grateful to just be a part of this new push, and I definitely would be remiss if I didn't honor and shout out to our Madam President, you know, Salma Ott, for her vision, her leadership, in inviting us and helping putting this whole team together. I think we have a group right now that can really add on, stand on the shoulders of all those great people you were quoting at the beginning of the program, you know. And so that's what it is. Those are our goals, and that's what we're doing right now. And just look for in the future, you know, more programs popping up and, you know, some things happening.
True indeed. My next question is, could you explain to us what is African-centered education and how is it transforming to the youth?
All right. So, African-centered education, and let me take it. All right. So, African-centered education basically is an education, a system of education that pulls out what's already inside of you, which that's what education is. But an African-centered education is an education that's designed to pull out the African inside of you, you know, because the only reason why it's called African-centered and you need the term African-centered is because we've been under a Eurocentric education for so many years, you know, and being a part of this Western society, you know, the Eurocentric education is called education, while the African-centered education is called African-centered education. Our goal is the one day that African-centered education, when we talk about it, we just say education, because of course it's going to be centered around who we are. Any institution we build to educate our youth should be centered around our walk, our collective walk on this planet, right? And so African-centered education is just that. You know what I'm saying? It's an education that's centered not just around the African past, but also around understanding the African present and around building the African future, right? And so that's what it is. And it's also in your approach to education, right? So it's not just a history class. It's also approaching education using cultural teaching styles that our people identify with, right? So African, because a lot of times we might jump in a situation and we might be teaching Black history, but we build our class mimicking the public school class. So you still got tests, you think you got to have quiz, you think you got to have a report card every 6 weeks, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like the structure is just as Eurocentric as the curriculum, right? So in African-centered education, we also challenge the structure. You come into African-centered education as a creator, as a builder, as an observer, as a learner, right? And as a new African, you can't be scared to build something new. So African-centered education is that as well. You know what I'm saying? When you center something around a people, when you center something around an experience, then you better make it moldable. You got to treat it like wet clay. Because as you build it, especially as you build something that hasn't been built before, you got to always be a learner and not be afraid to shape it and to mold it and to make it fit, you know what I'm saying, in whatever way it needs to fit to empower our people. The end goal is to create successful, empowered, determined, courageous, and informed new Africans that can take us and propel our people into the future.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're very, very correct about that, sir. I sentiment all that. My next question is, how can citizens and non-citizens get involved? Mm-hmm. In the minister education, how can you get involved and engage into the work?
Oh man, you know what? Number one, get in touch with us. You know, you can get in touch with us at Baba Amin at uhuruacademy.com, or you can visit the PGRNA website, the PG-RNA.com website, all right, and contact us through there. But what we're looking for right now in particular, homeschoolers. And those who want to homeschool, you know, we want to work and help build and strengthen collectives like what Brother Minister was talking about earlier. We want to co-labor to help build collectives that can share resources. And even on that grassroots level, man, let's start plucking our children out of that public food system. Right. And so conscious citizens can help by making a commitment to be a part of that move. To be a part of that drive, right? just keeping us informed, you know, keep us informed about what's going on in your area, you know, what's happening, what are you organizing, you know, keep us informed. We'll continue to keep others informed as well as to what's going on with the Uhuru Academy, right? So those are ways you can get involved. I like to work with my people based on partnerships and co-laboring. I don't like to come in like the education messiah, and I'm going to tell y'all everything and what to do. That's not my approach, right? Education is here to pull out what's already there, to spark what's already there. You know what I'm saying? So for those who want to get more involved, I want to get more involved too. Let's co-labor. Let's hook up. let's co-labor, and let's let the work unify us and bring us together.
True, indeed. I got one more question, then I'm going to pass it to Minister Akin Bekele. How significant is it for the Minister of Youth and Mental Education to work and collectively, how important is it collectively working struggle?
Well, it's key, right? It's key. You know, we have a collective goal. So, you know, there's going to be collective work. Now, my attitude towards collective work, though, is always we don't have to be in the same room or be working necessarily on the same specific initiative to be working collectively, right? We've all been working collectively for years, you and your ministry, you and your work, the brother and the sister and their work, because wherever you've been working with young people, you've been working to empower African people. Wherever I've been working with young people, I've been working to empower African people. You have not wavered from that. I haven't wavered from that. So we've been co-laboring. Now that our work has brought us into similar spaces, right, we just continue to co-labor. We continue. Don't stop what you're doing. I ain't stopping what I'm doing to start something new. Let's link up what we've all been shedding our blood, sweat, and tears, building all these years. Let's look and see how can what you're building benefit what we're building and vice versa, right? And I think that happens organically as you keep pushing, as I keep pushing, as the brother and sister in the Ministry of Youth in athletics continue to keep pushing. The work is already happening. It's bringing us together in an organic fashion, right? So, yes, co-laboring, collective work and responsibility is absolutely key, but forced working together, you know what I'm saying, coming together just for the sake of working together, right, forsaking the good work that you're already doing, thinking that you have to add on a bunch of extra to make things happen. I've seen that fall apart before when people force and say, man, problem is we not working together. Well, are you uplifting black people? Yes, I am too. We are working together. We have to first start thinking like a collective before we can move like a collective, right? And so that thought process has to be put in place, and that has to be our attitude as we come to the table and schedule our next African-Centered Education Conference, schedule our next youth event, right? Let's co-labor and let's start doing more collaboration and bringing these things together, supporting each other by posting initiatives and sharing posts and that sort of thing. So, yeah, that's key. It's key, but how we do it is also important as well.
Indeed, I appreciate that, good brother. Again, I want to thank you for coming to the broadcast. Shade, now you understand. I want to thank you for the work you did in the past, present, and future. At this time, to Minister Akin Bekele, after you give him answer his questions, we open the line to a couple of callers and listeners so they can engage in the dialogue as well. Free of line, good brother. Say.
Okay. By any means necessary.
Okay. Free line must offer. Your line is open, brother. You can continue out with your comments, your questions.
Free the land, everyone. It's a pleasure and honor to be on the radio with you guys tonight. I just want to say thank you for all of the work that you've been putting in so far. And I look forward to going to newer and better heights with you all as we take this journey forward with the PGRNA. Well, brother, thank you for putting me on. You know, you kind of asked a whole bunch of questions. I got to figure out what I want to ask now. But one thing I did want to ask to you, Minister of Education. I know...
Yes, sir.
The what we live in now, the society that we live in now, is not really catered towards new African education. So what do you tell our new African brothers and sisters who may be kind of teetering on the fence or, you know, aren't really ready to jump 2 feet forward into solely going with new African education? What advice or perks or what advice do you give them to kind of, you know, quell their disparities about fully jumping forward into new African education?
Kwame Ture once said that, like, we don't wake people up. Like, we don't make nobody African. You know what I'm saying? That, like, we don't make nobody conscious. You know, what we do is spark the consciousness that's already inside of people. And that's what I try to do. When I talk to new Africans and we say African-centered education, you know, we say African-centered empowerment-based education. And what I want them, a lot of times that initial fear is, militancy. Oh, you about to try to make my baby a little Black Panther. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Y'all hate white people. is this going to be accepted? Is this accredited? You know, we get all these questions because we know what the fears are. The fear is that, and I'm talking to y'all because we on George Jackson Radio, the fear is basically, is Massa going to let us do this? You know what I'm saying? And so what I try to do is just alleviate that by letting them know that a lot of the principles and values that they already have are African-centered principles and values. We don't have to talk about Nat Turner in this conversation. Let's just talk about your baby feeling good about themselves and how learning more about our culture will help them do that. I haven't met, in my 30 years, I haven't met an African, a new African, especially a working-class new African, that don't want to know more about us, that don't want to know more about our story, you know. And the way we teach our story at the Uhuru Academy is an uplifting story. It's a story of triumph. It's a story of resilience. It's a story of resistance. You know what I'm saying? And so with that positive approach, it tends to appeal to Africans regardless. I mean, we talk to hardcore Christians, Muslims, you know, Moors, people who say you ain't Black, you stop using Black. They be Black enough, they be wanting to get into school, though, you know what I'm saying? So it's really about taking an empowerment-based approach, letting them know that all these intangibles are here, too. We're not just here to have your baby screaming Black power. We're here to make your baby better in math, better in science. We're here to make your baby have a vision for what they want to do in the future. We all go to the public school and they tell you to dream, but don't nobody tell you how to plan. We focus on the plan at the Uhuru Academy. So when your baby come to my school and your baby go to an African center school and they say, I want to be a lawyer. No, you are a lawyer. And we're going to treat you like a lawyer. You're going to have special projects dealing with law. You're going to learn different types of law. I want to work on computers. No, you do work on computers. You are a software engineer, and we're going to expose you to that, right? And so we build systems, you know what I'm saying, that empower young people. And when their babies come home, when they come home and they like, I can't wait to get up and go to school tomorrow. Oh, I'm logging in, but I want to get there early. The proof is in the pudding. Right. So parents that are on the fence, I tell them all the time, brother, I just need 15 minutes of your time. And I become a listener. And when I talk to other African center educators, that's what I tell them. Don't be so ready to think somebody sleep or somebody ain't woke or somebody coming with some coon stuff. Mm-mm. Go in and be a listener. And if you're informed, then you should be able to have an informed response to whatever they ask. Right. And don't be afraid to say perhaps. Right now, this ain't the institution for you, but keep watching because we're here.
Excellent. And I guess my follow-up question there would be, just as you mentioned, your school does center around new African education, and you mentioned about lawyers and computer engineers. So in your opinion, there is not – any type of job occupation out there that is not can be converted or cannot be taught from an African citizen perspective. Is that correct?
Let me think for a second. That is correct. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're talking about walking around Joe Biden carrying his Kool-Aid. I don't know how you can make that pro-Black. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? Some hardcore cooning jobs out there that I don't know how we can swing unless you're going to poison the Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
But no, there's not. You know, there's no profession. You know, when it comes to STEM, technology, we need all of that to build a nation. You need farmers, right. You need plumbers, you need teachers, you need woodworkers. You need all of that to build a nation. All of it, you know, and that's warrior scholarship, right? Not all warriors walk out on the battlefield ready to fight. First, you got to till the field. Can you grow food out of the field? You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
Yeah, I don't want to win. I don't want to win a fight and turn around every day talking about okay, how are we gonna eat?
Exactly.
Who gonna build the houses? Who gonna keep the system? Who gonna build the sewer systems and wire and that sort of thing? So you know, and liberation is a process. It's not an event. You know. And we have to empower the next generation to take this process to the next level. And they may see things and define it differently than us. We have to empower the next generation to create. How are we going to build this nation state? We can't run away from the original goals. How do you build a nation state inside of a racist state? How do you do that? You know what I'm saying? What does it look like globally? Where can we go across the globe and build independent African nation states? Where would our allies be, right? We have to ask questions. Education asks questions. African-centered education empowers black people to ask questions that they cannot ask inside of white institutions.
Excellent. And that's exactly what I wanted to bring out, the fact that, you know, in our quest for independence, we do have to be concerned about all of those things that come involved
mm-hmm.
with building a new African, the infrastructure, and being able to run our own independent sovereign nation. So, yes, thank
right.
you, brother, for bringing
right.
that out.
I say,
all
I
right.
mean, if our babies aren't dreaming about it, how is it going to happen?
Exactly.
If we're not painting a picture of what it would look like, how you gonna make it?
I agree with that.
Right.
Right.
I say.
So that is what I have for you, Minister of Education. The ministers right. of youth and sports. Are you out there?
We here, brother.
You present,
minister.
All right, cool. One question I wanted to ask of you all, you mentioned about meeting the children where they are. I wanted to get some of your insight about how do you go about that process and trying to understand what the children may be wanting, and how do you go about bringing that out of them, you know, the type of questions you may ask, or what type of environments do you cultivate in order to allow them to be able to talk, because I know sometimes children aren't that articulate or know how to express themselves. And so what are some of the ways that you have found to be successful in bringing out that from the youth?
Freedom land. So I'm going to just keep it brief and pass it to Minister Bomani. But we just live by the creed. We will be patient with the deaf, dumb, and blind. We got to meet them where they're at. That's what we do. That's exactly what we do, and we've been very successful with that. Actually, one example, we've had a public school student that actually came to us at the beginning of last year when they were still doing the remote learning. And she had, you know, speech issues and things like that, and we excelled her by, you know, African-centered way, doing the circle with the story time, storytelling, the African proverbs, all of those things. She recently went back to public school, since they're back in the buildings now in Birmingham. And her mom came over here, because we keep her little sister, but her mom came over, and it's like 18 out of 20 students are failing in her class. So we know there is definitely a disconnect there with our new African students, because where we stay in Jefferson County is like over 90% new African. So she may be returning back to us, but we know, like, especially her mom's able to see the breakdown of the Eurocentric way of learning versus the African-centered way. It's very disconnecting. So, like I said, what we do is we live by the creed. We lead our children at their spirit. If they got that warrior spirit, we can teach you about the warriors, and we're going to add, like, some warriors. We're going to add a little soldier, warrior men up or something like that. And if you're more the soft-spoken type, we can do the counting with object, do the African map, all of those things like that. So it definitely, we've been very successful. I'm very satisfied with what our students have retained from the years past. We've had students for the past 3-4 years now where we've had them in pre-K all the way to second, third grade, and they've stuck with it. So I guess the proof is in the pudding, because their parents are our biggest supporters, and we are so appreciative of them for keeping our school going and just believing in us. And like Baba Amin said, we all have this consciousness inside of us, because he was so I'm glad we were on mute when he was saying that, because we were over here amening and ashaying and all that. We got Moors, Muslims, Hebrew, Israelites, all of their children are at our school. And they love it. And they've been, like I said, our biggest supporters. So, Ashe, I'll pass it to Minister Bomani.
Great. That was great. Pretty land. So, to answer your question a little bit, one way that we make sure that we are doing the work is we go to existing establishment where our youth are. So when our baby girl was in kindergarten, we were at her school every other day. And we were going to take her out, but we said, you know what? If we volunteer in the classroom every day, we could help 20 children out versus just taking our baby out and homeschooling them, right? So we stayed that year, and we affected 20 children. Every single day I wore my dashikis. I was going through my dashiki phase. My wife was selling dashikis, so I had every color. And every time I went to the school, you know, the children would ask about it, and we would open up a conversation about what it was, where it came from, what it meant. And they always seen me in this fashion. So I was able to affect 20 children versus just mine. Another thing we did was we volunteered at the community center. And we volunteered so long, we got a job there. You know, we thought we ain't going nowhere. These are our youth. So while at this community center, we built relationships with the youth, not only the youth, but we built relationships with their parents. So that was our key, right, is getting into the community where the youth already are, where parents are already going to drop their students and children off at, and building relationships with the children and then building relationships with the youth. Our job at this community center really, it was to cultivate the youth, but we were more so protectors, right? So we had to make sure that our youth weren't being negatively influenced by the hood element that was at the park or right next door. We wanted to make sure that our children weren't being negatively influenced by the Eurocentric element that used to come volunteer at the park. The St. Paul's, John's, the St. This and the St. That will come to the park, and then they'll bring their volunteers up there. So we protected the minds of our youth. And one thing that we noticed, and Baba, I mean, you can attest to this, is that everything that we taught our youth, we had garden clubs. That was our main thing. You know, we got many gardens in Mobile, Alabama that we helped build with the youth. The youth are going to take this information home to their parents, right? The whatever we teach our youth, if we're teaching our youth the creed, they're going to go home and tell the parents, man, I'm doing the creed, right? If we teach our youth about how to grow hibiscus and okra, they're going to go home and say, Mama, I know how to grow hibiscus. I know how to grow okra. He goes to mint that our teachers gave to us. They're our biggest advocate. And then the parent eventually comes around and says, man, what you teaching my child? You talking about something about a biscuit or something? We're like, nah, hibiscus. They're growing hibiscus, and you make tea out of it, so on and so forth. So that's right. Our way. And then once we got the parents, it's cool because, again, African-centered education is not just about our youth thing. It's about, you know, we have a concept that African-centered education before you're even born, you know, in a belly we want to read to you and play positive music. So, again, when we're talking about meeting people where they're at, the first thing that we can do and the first thing that we've done is go to where our children are already going to be, you know, and then be a force, be a factor in there. And if you could do it on a volunteer basis, even better. Right, because people know that you're not going nowhere. People know that you're doing it for the love of the youth. Right, we became coaches because we was out there with the youth. Oh, it's football season. That's where all the children at. All of our what they call like at risk youth. They all on the football field, all on the t-ball field. So that's where we going. We're going to be out here with them. So we became coaches and coached some children to a championship. You know, because we was like, you know, this is what they need. We're here for you.
And they named themselves.
Right, and the last thing I want to add to that is. Because you asked about, like, being in their lives. Statistically, as mentors, as positive influences, if we just show up to these children's and these youth lives for a short, brief period and leave, it's worse than never being there at all, right? So we made sure that we consistently stayed in these youth lives, right? And, I mean, we had it. And I mean, we had it so down pat that we would be able to talk to the principals at any school where we was at about one of our youth, right? And the parents was cool with it.
Right.
But I just leave it there. I yield there. But it's imperative that we get these youth and be in their lives, you know, for long periods of time. And I yield right there.
I say, I definitely agree with that, and thank you both for your amazing answers and your new African perspective on how you deal with our youth and our new African citizens. At this time, Minister Bumani, I turn it over back to you to open up the line for any questions or the callers that may be on.
Okay. Yes, sir. Free line, Minister Akinbekele. I appreciate that, good brother. At this time, you have any question, comment, statement, announcement, please press 1 to open your line up. If you want to talk to the host, or you want to talk to the guests, you want to ask questions, your line, just press 1. I'm going to start opening up a few lines. I know. Okay, I got one right here. Let me see who is. Okay, 843-614, your line is open. Yeah, any question, comments, statements? Please do so this time.
Line
843-614. B4 Go ahead, good brother.
Good tip. I just want to Asante Sana to everybody who called in tonight and expressing, you know, everything you need to express about educating our youth. And experience that I had when I was like 15. My name is Aquisi. I'm born and raised in Charleston, South Carolina. And at the age of 16, a little short story, right? I never made it to high school. I don't know what a high school classroom looked like. And that's crazy because my pops is a graduate from Wilberforce University out of Ohio. But anyway, I never made it to high school, you know, went to the streets, probably about like at 14, 13, you know, my pops ended up becoming a drug addict. He's still a drug addict to this day, but he's still alive. But, and so at age of 16, I went to Job Corps. I signed up on Job Corps, and I went to two different Job Corps. I went to Job Corps. First one I went to was Simpsonville, Kentucky, about 20 minutes outside of Louisville. And it was one of the greatest experiences I ever had in my life because I was able to meet, you know, new Africans from all up and down the East Coast, you know, Birmingham, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Atlanta, different places in South Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky. And, you know, make a long story short, the first, so, you know, you go in Job Corps, you go into your skill for 1 week, and then, you know, if you don't have a GED, you go into the GED program. So the first skill I took out was carpentry, and got in a situation, you know, with a bucker, a white person, and he ended up sending me to welding. So I did a little bit of welding, got into more situations, and he ended up sending me home, telling me I got an option to either get terminated or go home for a few weeks and we could send you to a program called Redirect in Lower Maryland for 16 and 17-year-olds who haven't properly adjusted to the Job Corps environment. So went home for a few weeks, you know, and in the process, my first time ever getting on an airplane. So, you know, all that, you know, Job Corps is free. So I ended up getting on the airplane again back home, stay home for a few weeks, and then I ended up going to Lower Maryland, like right in between Baltimore and D.C., So from that experience, now I'm up top. So now I'm around black people from New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, D.C., Delaware, et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, and the vast majority, the vast majority of the staff at all these Job Corps were black people, were New Africans. And I just say all that to say, trades, you know, is something that's missing, you know, because in my father's generation, his father's generation, they were tradesmen. They know how to work what they have. They were either carpenters, brick masons, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's an essential skill that is missing, you know, especially for my generation. My generation mostly, but on the streets, B-boys, you know, hustling, you know, whatever. I'm born in 82. I'm 39 years old now. And, you know, so I just want to, you know, throw that into the equation, share my experience with Job Corps, and, you know, and throw that to the equation and think about, you know, the youngsters who may have had my experience who missed the opportunity to be in an African singing school at a young age and, you know, dropped out of school but tried to do something, you know, like at 16 and 17 and tried to get a vocational trade, you know, because, you know, as we struggle, we're going to need individuals who can work on the cars and the trucks and do the, you know, the infrastructure work as we build, not just, you know, the academic and agricultural work. But that's all I want to, you know, throw into the equation. Pardon me for being so long winded.
I say, if I could speak to that, you know, we have a program that we developed after we developed our first Uhuru Academy. We have a program that we still do right now, Operation Reconnect. And as a matter of fact, I was late to the call because I was announcing to a sister that she just graduated, 27-year-old mother of five, who wants to go into cosmetology. What we do at Operation Reconnect, we have an accelerated high school diploma program that's really geared towards guiding people who stopped out of school, you know what I'm saying, back and reconnecting them with education, economic opportunities, entrepreneurship opportunities, and we place a special emphasis on trades and vocations and certifications, you know what I'm saying? We created relationships with our community colleges because where I'm from in Texas, our community colleges are really centered around trades. It was a great way to get introduced to a trade, and your financial aid, your Pell Grant alone, or pay for the full thing, and you have money left over in your pocket. We would reward them with a high school diploma, though. I cut the GED part of it out, right? Our test ain't as difficult as the GED, but we're a private school, so we have the right to graduate our students based on our standards as long as we're willing to stand up for our standards. So we set our own standards for graduation, and we've been graduating people out of our neighborhood, well, really nationally now, you know, for 10 years, right? But you can't graduate unless you know where you're going, you know. And so not only do we build those relationships with the community colleges, we build relationships with master tradesmen, master trades people as well. And we provide them with apprentices. Let's set up apprenticeships. You know, if you're a master plumber, if you're a master carpenter, you know, let's work together and set up an apprenticeship program. We'll graduate them. You know, like this sister got a high school diploma, she's going to go get a cosmetology license. And in our 10 years of this independent high school diploma that comes from us, not from the state, we haven't had one person get turned away with our high school diploma, not one. That's another thing I'm glad the brother called in, because that's another thing that we want to empower our community to do, to where, like, your journey through Job Corps and this program and that program, you got exposed to the trades, and that helped you. But what if there was already an independent program inside your community that could credential you with that high school diploma, and you can go focus right in on that trade, on getting that certification? You know, so we try to fill that gap too, because a trade ain't something you get into just because you got in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Trades are honorable. That's much needed, good paying, honorable, solid work that ain't going nowhere. And we need to build multiple avenues to trades and vocations inside our community. And I yield with that.
Okay, anybody else say good brother?
No, I'm good. That's all I want to say. Respect to everybody.
Okay, respect, brother. Free line.
Okay,
I'm going to open up another call. I think the sister wants to say something. I'm going to open up a line. 901-480, line is open. You got a question, comment, statement, do it at this time. Please do so. Your line is open. 901-480, your line is open. Go ahead.
Friend Land, this is Bethany and Mr. Nelly Queen. How y'all doing tonight?
Land.
Peace and power to everybody. I wanted to, you know, just add that my daughter did start the Uhuru Academy this year, and it has been the greatest experience of our lives. I saw for the first time my daughter had confidence in herself. She, you know, still have a hard time getting up in the morning because she lazy, but she gets up.
She be getting it in, though.
She, engaged and she loves the school. I mean, my baby has never loved going to school. She's hated school all her life. You know. Look, I'm trying not to get emotional. But she loves school now. And I want to thank Mommy and Koyo and the whole family at the Uhuru Academy. And we are so excited. I am beyond words cannot even explain the way I feel right now because, like I said, my daughter is on a path that she has not been on and is phenomenal. So I wanted to add that. I love you all. Free the land.
Love you too. Free the land by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. Okay, I'm going to open up a line for another caller. Find the elder, want to let the elder get in right quick. 916-297, your line is open. You have any question, comment, statement, or announcement? 916-297, your line is open. Go ahead. I can't hear you, Bob. I can't hear you, Conrad.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. I hear you now. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I like to first salute and commend everybody on the show who's definitely contributing to the rise of the African Nation, Free the Land. And I like to add a comment with a question. We see inside of the new Jim Crow a large population of our new African men, women, and youth in this mass incarceration system called New Jim Crow. Inside of that system, as we listen to the reports, there's a lot of hopelessness and despair. Many that enter without any sense of knowledge, their heritage, knowledge of self, and at the same time, the systems that they enter. It's so repressive, oppressive that it does not encourage and promote upliftment, unity, building, healing, developing human social beings, particularly New African spiritual base, as well as a New African foundation of thought. So because of this such a large population that we're losing, how can we be able to actually link them to education opportunities like a correspondence program, something that they can actually begin to learn knowledge of self, who they are, what is their purpose on earth, and what is their direction, as well as be able to prepare them when they return back to be able to be contributors to their communities as opposed to help further along in the oppression and the destruction. That's all. Thank you. Hello, can you hear me?
Who that question gives her, Bobby? Everybody on the line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's open for everybody online.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I just want to say some of these things that you're talking about, we have to create, right? We can't trust anybody else to educate our children the way we can. Right, so we have to create these institutions. We have to empower the parents to say, "I'm going to take my children's education into our own hands." So that's the main way I see us doing it, and to just politicize education to parents that all of us are responsible for our children's education. Right, so if our children are at home, they are still homeschooled. You know, they're still learning things. So the things that you talk about are things that we have to create ourselves and just empower parents to take the power of educating our children in our own hands. But I yield there.
I appreciate the question, Bible. One of the things, I like what my comrade just said about politicizing it as well. One thing that no one can argue with that's having a sensible conversation is the results of the last 60 years of education in the black community. Of course, you have black people that have gone on to achieve great things during that time, but collectively, we own a lot less land than we used to own. Collectively, the black business ownership has all but disappeared. The incarceration, the mass incarceration, as you mentioned, of black people has increased. Integration has proven to really be segregation on steroids. Malcolm defined integration as when people from outside your community control the economics and the politics inside your community. Ain't got nothing to do with water fountains, like what we're told in school. And so our community in a lot of ways is more segregated now. Matter of fact, so-called integration intensified the political and economic despair inside of our communities. No one can argue that. Now, what's required to fix it are solutions that reverse that problem, solutions that reverse that trend. How do we reach those who are hardest to reach, you know, those behind the wall? We need networks, but not just not just trying to go through the system with it, but networks, you know, word of mouth, familial networks, where study groups can be set up, where you know, reentry programs. You know, I think grassroots organizations should be about the business of buying property. You know, and when I say buying property, I ain't talking about $100,000 properties. It's properties that collectively you can buy in a black community for less than $10,000 and fix it up. Y'all know it as well as I do. We need to be about that. So when you get people who come home from behind the wall, there's some sort of reentry program, reentry process, some type of work being put in place, project being put in place. You know what I'm saying? People associate trust with food, clothing, and shelter, you know. And so we have to associate our message wherever we can with food, clothing, and shelter, right? And so those efforts have to continue. We need to be turning people. You know, there are a lot of frustrated black people that work for the system. They ain't going to come out and say it on Facebook. But if you get pro-black and you stop talking to black folk, then you ain't gonna make no allies out. You ain't going to convert them, right? There are plenty of them that are frustrated. There'll be spooks who sit by the door. You know, I have black principals, black counselors that call me off the books and say, man, I got a family for you. I got one for you. This one ain't cutting it. I got one for you. You know what I'm saying? We have to be savvy in how we approach things, and we can't always approach it. Now, there are times where you got to go hard with your fatigues and megaphone and do what you got to do, but there's also times where you have to use nuance. And I think that we have to be willing as solutionaries to fall back and retrain. You know, be willing to retrain ourselves. How do we navigate today's system? You know, I know we look at our great ancestors and how they navigated the 60s and how they navigated the 70s, you know, but how do you navigate the 2020s? Right? How do we navigate today? What type of nuance do we need in order to be infiltrators, in order to be philosophy turners? You know what I'm saying? It's a task, you know, but it's one that must be done. Not you.
Asante.
Caribou, Bob. Caribou.
You got anything to ask, or that's it?
That was the main focus. I appreciate the insight that was shared.
Okay. Chilewa then, Conrad.
Chilewa.
Yes, sir. Okay, I got another caller. 929-446. You have any question, comment, statement? Please just leave a time. Your line is open. 929-446. Your line is open. Go ahead.
Free the land. This is Sister Coco. And I just really wanted to say that I appreciate everything that was said. I think there was a lot of strong points that were made in regards to this. And I do obviously, like, you know, have my own concerns with my own child, like, and what I can offer my child as a conscious new African, and, you know, dealing with a lot of these contradictions that we have in our local communities as well as within our own families. So I just want to know, like, for someone like myself or for many other people who may not be in close proximity to where African-centered education is happening, what do you offer? What kind of structure can you suggest to parents who want, or, you know, maybe single mothers who want to start homeschooling but also have to deal with a lot of the difficulties, obviously, through income and, you know, but then also want to not indoctrinate, right, and to put their, you know, children through the system, and obviously the different nuances with that. Like, how does someone go about starting something like that within their local area, given the restraints that people might have to be able to homeschool?
Free the land. I appreciate, Sister, thank you for that, that question. It's a powerful question. It's one that I asked myself years ago, you know, and the answers that I came up with, you know, involve, number one, relationship building. You know, a coalition of families could get more done than perhaps one family, you know. I've seen groups, and I've helped organize groups where it may be multiple families, and I'm just gonna rock with it. We've had it where multiple families wanted to homeschool, you know, and we looked at who wasn't going to work every day. You know, somebody might be on a housing voucher with food stamps and the whole nine yards, and just not necessarily going to work every day, or somebody might be working for themselves and got time, you know what I'm saying? Or we find somebody that could be the homeschool hub. Where's the homeschool going to be at? You know, okay, well, you a homemaker. Let's do the homeschool at your house, you know what I'm saying? And then everybody with what we can. It don't have to be set tuition or anything like that. With what we can, let's subsidize this person to be that homeschool hub, you know. Now, as far as that person saying, you know, wanting to be trained as a teacher or whatever, the government can provide that. You know, we can provide that. We provide free homeschool training for homeschooling parents, free resources, access to resources, curriculum, and that sort of thing. That's in place, right? So what I recommend parents do, get your relationship hat on. You know, say your relationship building hat on, build a coalition. I'm going to tell you, one of my first allies was a black church. I went and talked to a pastor that I knew, you know, and I ran it by him, and I told him, you know, you ain't got to tell everybody. We're not going to put you on Front Street. We're not going to be in the paper saying they letting us teach black history up here at the church. And we just need the building. We just need access to a building, you know, because we needed a spot. And we got the spot because he secretly loved what we was doing, but he knew if his congregation knew that he was supporting something like that, that they stopped tithing. I mean, we just kept it a stack, right? And so relationship building, that your most valuable resource is human resource, not necessarily money. It's a human resource thing. When we first started Huru Academy on the ground, we were providing full-time education for kindergarten through 12th grade, 5 days a week, you know what I'm saying? And because we had such a strong coalition of parents and people, you know what I'm saying, people were just giving like $250 a month per child, you know what I'm saying, and which for what they was getting was a little bit of nothing. If you didn't have that, you bought it. That means you finna grade papers. You finna be the one on Facebook. You're going to do this because the work is just as valuable. The income matches the work. So if the more people that can put in work, the less income, physical money, have to come out of people's pockets. But definitely a coalition, you know. And then, of course, there are online options too. So, you know, and we have a lot of options. Our site says one thing, but we have a lot of options. And our motto with the Uhuru Academy is that we don't let money get in the way. And I yield.
I say, brother. I just want to add to that. First, I want to say, man, you're telling our story over here at our collective that we have here. So the first thing you can do, sis, I don't know what area you're in, but you can look online and see if they have any African-centered homeschool collectives in your area. It's not many. If they don't have any African-centered homeschools, can they just see if they have any Black-centered homeschool collectives, right? Or just any homeschool collectives, period. That's a start. And usually collectives, you know, with nothing to join or anything like that, and everybody shares resources. You can join our collective on Facebook. You can hit us up. We never mind sharing resources, our passwords to things that we subscribe to, or just giving free homeschool help, right? Because we believe every parent, whether your children are in public school or in some type of private school or institution, you are still a homeschool parent, and you are still responsible for your children's education. So that's where I say start. And like Bob Amin said, if you don't have those available in your neighborhood or in your area, I suggest you start one. You know, you find another like-minded parent that's talking about homeschooling or after-school programs, and you cultivate that collective yourself.
Yes, and this is Minister Asada. I just wanted to add, as far as a mother's perspective with children, the way I started with our three was just starting in the house, like even with dinner, like it's five of us, so put five spoons or five forks on the table, and if your dad or your brother isn't here, take those away and what you have. So, you know, you have subtraction, you can still do all of those things inside of the house. So just find a little creative way to do that, and like Minister Bomani was saying, just looking for like-minded people in your area, because they're there. You just have to you gotta do the footwork to connect with each other. But as far as we're concerned, we are definitely available. I know, like Bob Amin said, offer his services, but we, like my husband said, we don't mind sharing passwords, so you can get in there and get the curriculum. It's all good. It's all the nation thing. So definitely get in touch with us. Bomani knows how to get in touch with all of us. So we are looking forward to hearing from you. And thank you for calling in.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You got anything else to say, Sister Coco? That's it.
I really definitely I felt a lot of what was being said, and I really do agree with this idea of, you know, land and economic power and, you know, empowerment that we have to have, right? But I'm also thinking of, like, the immediate needs of conscious new Africans versus the masses, and thinking of, like, how we can really hone in on those conversations, right? And also thinking, you know, I have a, you know, my son is 3 and a half, and it's really important that I'm thinking about this now, you know, and considering these contradictions, right, that exist, especially, you know, with, you know, other family members or whatnot, and, you know, and trying to, you know, even, you know, consider that resistance, right? But I think a lot about the youth, right, and, like, what we're doing with the youth and thinking about independence and thinking about, you know, how there we have to, you know, really think and consider of training them, and, you know, like you said, like warriors and thinking like that. So there's just a lot of considerations that I'm thinking of, and I just wanted to appreciate what was being said. And I yield.
All right, free land, we appreciate that. I think we got another caller right quick. I'm going to open the lines up. 901-292, your line is open. You got questions, comments, statements. Leave us with the time. 901-292, your line is open. Go ahead.
Free the land, comrades. I hope everyone's doing well this evening.
Free the land.
Ashe, I've been listening, and I'm very, very, you know, just excited because this the administration and the ministries that we're putting together as we rebuild this process of the provisional government's role and function for all new Africans. I'm very, very excited. I know that we have experience, energy, and this is what we really talk about when we put theory into practice. I hope everybody's understanding what I'm saying. When we talk, there's one thing to talk about nation building, but it's also another thing to see conscious new Africans begin to see the work begin to manifest once again, because it was manifesting at one time, and to see it resurfacing and recommitting to what we say, freeing the land. So I congratulate all the ministers, co-ministers, and new African citizens. I did want to address Sister Coco as far as her concerns, because there are a lot of new Africans that are beginning to ask questions, wanting more information. You will not see a lot of new African activity, because you will have to be the change that occurs. When we ask new Africans to get into a work, study, and training unit, you have to perhaps start with three people. You will begin to find your new African family if you keep this process, if you get in the orientation packet that will soon be coming out, and you begin to understand why you want to become a new African, what does a new African mean, why we say free the land, what are our foundational documents, who are the people whose shoulders we stand on, both those who have transitioned and who are still present here in the everyday work. Who are our political prisoners? What is the role of women, comrades, sisters, workers? What is the role, because what you're talking about is a phenomenon of collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, all of the principles of the Ndusa Saba, and, of course, knowing the creed and what our Constitution says we are supposed to be doing in our what we call our goals and objectives of the revolution, because that's what we're doing. We are building a nation. We are a people in captivity, and the ideas and the energies that you're hearing from these ministers tonight are our plans and our goals over the next few years, this nation forward. So I thank you, comrades, and my question to you is, how soon do you feel that you will be ready to start putting some, not all, but some basic ideas and objectives under your ministry onto the website for new Africans to tap into? I yield.
I say,
we're ready whenever we get with whoever's doing the website. You know, we're ready to lay some stuff down, because we do have some priority areas, you know, as it relates to the youth and what we want to build. So we're ready whenever the website person is ready. Also, the brother, what was Baba's name last week with the other website? The Baba last week, who was on George Jackson University show, you know, and his website, some of those things that we wanted to put in place are already kind of out there as it relates to, like, the cultural, the character building, and the healing aspects that we want with our youth. So I would love to link up with that brother to join some of that information on both websites. But we're ready. Like I say, a lot of these things are things that we've already been doing. So a lot of these things is nothing new. And I believe Baba Amin can say the same thing. So I believe we're ready whenever y'all are ready. Mm-hmm. I yield.
It's as
thank
soon
you.
As
thank
possible.
You.
I say.
Thank you. We're looking forward.
Yeah, I say as soon as possible. I would love to see we're currently in the beginning stages of organizing a virtual African Pen Education Conference. I would love to organize that within New African Citizenship, you know, as far as getting some of our current homeschooling parents, the youth and sports ministry, you know, involved as presenters, you know, and that sort of thing, to kind of begin to launch that energy, that image out there to the community that, hey, we're here, the provisional government is here, and let's go after our children first.
True indeed. I'm going to open a line for another call. I got another call to call. I got a couple of calls, actually. I'm going to open the line up right quick. We appreciate you calling in, Mama. 803-636. Your line is open. You got any questions, comments, statements? Go ahead.
Free the land. Basically, I wanted to, as I know the sister who was the single mother, she was basically asking as far as tips and advice as far as homeschooling is concerned. The brother, he has stated something about that you guys have like a curriculum and basically something in place for like people who actually want to do homeschooling, or even if not homeschooling, like me myself, like I'm in contact with a lot of my nieces and nephews and different family and other loved ones with them as well as their children. And so I was wondering, like, for people who are in contact with the youth and want to teach the youth because either their parents can't do it or they don't know how to do it, how would we go about getting the curriculum so we could actually teach the youth ourselves if we're not financially able to send them to the Uhura Academy or any other school system that they have that's dealing with African-centered education?
Free the land. Again, like I say, we, you know, when we're able, you know, really when we have a demand, like if I get five parents or more, we will organize. We have some trainings that we do, you know, and we organize a homeschooling training. We have a African-centered instructor training that we do as well. So those who are committed to actually doing that, committed to putting that work in, we want to meet them. We want to talk to them. We want to make something happen. Everything is case by case with me, though, you know, and so it's like we have to talk and see what that situation is and see what we have to offer will apply to that situation. But, you know, we're an open book as far as, you know, training and empowering others to do it, you know, and so just by reaching out, let's just be in contact. And let's see what we can organize and make happen. You know, where I'm living at right now, as a matter of fact, in Columbia, South Carolina, this relationship began with a sister reaching out to me because they wanted to pull, her mother wanted to pull the grandbaby out of public school. And they brought me out to, you know, to train them. I just basically dropped the whole curriculum, you know, in their lap. And lo and behold, 5 years later, they done parlayed it into a whole campus, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And we're out here living on the campus, you know, because you just never know what's going to happen. We've done it in Houston. We did it with a group in Memphis, Tennessee. So just reach out to me. It's just a case by case, you know, and let's see what we can work out or what can be worked out.
All right. And how would I go about getting in contact with you?
All right, cool. So you can email me at Baba Amin, BABAAMIN, at Uhuru, UHURU, Academy.com. Or you can call me at 682-233-5054. You can text that number, too. Let me know who you are. Matter of fact, I would recommend you text me. Let me know who you are. We spoke on the phone. We spoke on the show. You know what I'm saying? And then let's set up a meet. Let's set up a meet where we can talk and converse, man. I'd love to hear what you have going on.
Okay. I appreciate that. Asante Sana.
Reboot Sana.
Wayne, this is Brother Beaumont. I just wanted to add to that.
there are some curriculums in place online that you you can subscribe to, you know, such as like Kamali Academy. You know, we believe in that brother's curriculum and what he does. So there are some, you know, and some other curriculums as it relates to us and our people online also. So as we create new curriculum, there are a few that we believe in, and we can link you with those also. So make sure you get our information from Bomani.
Okay, and this is Minister Zasada. I want to just be brief and say the only way, like Baba Amin said, basically the only way we're going to get all this information is if we stay connected. So we have to stay connected to each other and give each other this information. That's the only way that is going to work. And I yield there.
Okay. Okay, well, we have another call up and open your line up. 901-570, line is open. Yeah, question, comment, statement. Your line is open, 901-570, line is open. Go ahead.
Oh, free to land, comrades. This is President Samaat calling, listening in to all the brilliance on the phone. I just would like to say to both of the co-ministers of the Ministers of Education and the Ministers of Youth and Sports that I am just so excited to be forwarding our New African Provisional Government, the Republic of New Africa, mission in collective work with you guys, because you've been working, doing this for a long time. This is their world. This is what they do every single day, our youth. Loving on them, making sure that they are heard, making sure that they are whole, making sure that they can be themselves, and that they are celebrated, right? So excellent work. I love y'all tremendously. To kind of add on to what Sister Coco was asking. Coming from that experience, that's where I was. Yet I will say, once you make that decision, a committed decision, saying my child is not going into the public school system within the U.S. empire, just it's not happening. You got to be committed to that. You know, you got to make that decision. Once you make that decision, firm decision, the how is going to come. Resources is going to boom. You ask the question, you got many answers. And look, you got this resources here. I remember when I had a resource, then the resource seemed like it was gone, and I was like, by any means necessary, it's not happening, right? And it's been an interesting journey, yet it's worth every penny, because now my oldest son is 17, and when I asked him what his dream looked like, It is free in the land. It is us being independent. It is us, you know, it feels so rewarding. I've won. You know what I mean? In my mind, I'm the richest, and I've won. You know what I'm saying? Because in our tradition, in African tradition, you know, your children are your prosperity. So when you hear out of the mouth of your child, and they say that their dream is to work within the village, work within the community, doing X, Y, and Z for our people, it doesn't get any better than that. And then they show it with their actions, and they zeroed in and focused, and they have, there is no doubt. They don't have fear. They don't have none of that, none of it, because they haven't been indoctrinated with it. So it's so rewarding. So I would say just keep, stay focused on what it is that you want to do. The answers is going to come. The how is going to come. Your reward, the reward is priceless. And I yield with that.
I say.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate it, Sister President. I know we got approximately like 7 minutes left, so I want to get like the final thoughts on everybody. Everybody, final thoughts. Y'all want to get everybody final thoughts at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be really brief. I just want to say free to land by any means necessary. I want to say that African empowerment-based education is the key. Education is the foundation for everything that we do. I want all the parents out there to unschool your mind. A lot of times the obstacles that we set up are more self-imposed because we think we got to mimic the school system. You can have school any time of day you want to, any days of the week that you want to. You're free. You're independent. Think independent. When you know you're free, you can be creative. Build it from the ground up. Build with what you have. The truth under a tree is better than a lie in a million-dollar facility. Free the land.
By me, yes, sir.
Free the land, Minister Asada. First, I just want to say Asante to all of us on the call and everyone who called in. I really enjoyed hearing all these different ideas. And like I said, firsthand accounts are always, always good in my mind. And also, I just want to send a special shout-out to Baba Amin and Mama Nkoyo and myself and Brother Bomani as being married couples in the movement. Sometimes you can have a love so much for the people that sometimes it can interfere with your relationship on the inside. So I just want to give us a shout-out for just keeping the balance and always working at it and always having nation in mind because nation starts at home. So I'll leave it there. I yield.
Okay. Okay. And Minister Bumani, y'all find it, what are your final thoughts?
Just want to say, you know, as it relates to our youth, you know, we are preparing our youth to be the future leaders that we need them to be. And we can't forget that. So, you know, I just want to say always keep that in mind. You know, who do we want our children to be in the future? You know, what fight do we want them to take on? You know, how do we want them to think? And then, you know, our footsteps – our actions produce those leaders, those warriors that we need in the future. Yeah, there.
Okay. Okay. I appreciate that. Let me get it. Minister Akin Bagala, what are your final thoughts, good brother?
Pretty land, I just want to say thank you again to everyone on the call. We appreciate your insight, your knowledge, and the work that you've been doing. And I appreciate all the callers who called in to give their thoughts or their experiences and the questions that we had. Please be mindful that it is a work in progress. So just bear with us and, you know, throw your hands in, help us out, because it will take all of us in order to get this done. And I also wanted to say that for any of the information about the PG, feel free to go on to the website, pg-rna.com, fill out the census form so that you can be recognized as a new African citizen, and so that the indoctrination document, the organization indoctrination document that Vice President Mama Ayo mentioned will be sent to you once it is ready. So that is a way that you can get the information from us as we pass it out from the PG. And there's also contact forms as well. So if you weren't able to get the information for the brothers on the call or brothers and sisters on the call tonight, there is a contact form on the website, and we can pass along any questions or information that you may need, have, or want through the website. Also, check out our social media pages as well, and I yield.
Okay, I appreciate that. I'm going to add this to it. We are a captured new African nation, you know, and we also, like the Elder Bot was saying, he come from the line of the New African Revolution National shoe line out of California. And so I'm basically saying that we got a lot of captured new African citizens behind enemy lines, and it's imperative that we keep communication with these brothers and sisters. It's imperative that we keep them involved in the education process, and it's also it's also spoken about in Encoded Motion that they also be involved in new African elections. It is also imperative to keep that bond relationship with them as much as possible so they can develop and prosper the way they need to be, and they can be the country new African citizen that they need to be. Like Brother Akin said, check out our website with www.pg/rna.com. And I yield that. When I say long live resistance, long live African independent movement, free the land. And again, I want to thank everybody who came to the broadcast to share your knowledge and understanding. I want to thank all the citizen workers, all the ministers, the co-ministers. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank everybody who constantly educating themselves on all different planes of existence and want to better themselves, be the best version of themselves. Free the land.